We will turn our attention now to Heidelberg Catechism question 67 and 68 dealing with the Holy Sacraments. You can follow in your sermon notes if you have. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, people are always excited when a baby or a new member is baptized. And that is good. But far too many people see baptism in the wrong way. They see baptism as a kind of a rite of passage or an important date to remember, just something like a birthday or an anniversary. Others see baptism as a ticket to heaven. As long as I'm baptized, it's taken care of. But those are wrong views of baptism. Baptism must always be viewed in light of what and whom it represents. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for sins. Now there are similar errors regarding the Lord's Supper. Some believe that they must take extra preparations for the Lord's Supper than they normally do for other Sabbaths. By making extra preparation for the Lord's Supper, they diminish the importance of the preached word. And this, of course, is one of the problems in not having the Lord's Supper every week, as in history. Furthermore, the Lord's Supper is not about Christians' worthiness to take it. It's not about how perfectly you prepare or how good you are. That's one of the errors attached to this. No Christian is worthy of himself to take the Lord's Supper. Christians must view the Lord's Supper in light of whom it represents, the Lamb of God who has to be killed for your freedom. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we often quote when we have the Lord's Supper, that passage does not raise the level of the Lord's Supper above the preaching by demanding that you examine yourself before participating. Rather, it raises the level of the Lord's Supper so you prepare as you prepare for preaching. It's not saying that the Lord's Supper becomes more important. Remember, the scripture says, let a man examine himself. And some people say, okay, I don't have to examine myself when I come on other Sundays, but the Lord's Supper Sundays, then I've got to examine myself. No. The Bible assumes you examine yourselves when you come for the preaching of the Word of God, and it's saying, when you come for the Lord's Supper, don't forget, examine yourselves as well. Let that Lord's Supper speak to you, so you can guard yourself and use it for its intended purpose. So that was raising of the Lord's Supper. And today, we'll hear from God's Word about the focus you must have when participating or witnessing the celebration of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And our headings are, 2, the focus of the sacraments, and 2, the number of the sacraments, or the number of sacraments. And our goals are that you will not see the sacraments in an individualistic way, that's it's all about me, or a superstitious way, some ceremony I must simply fulfill, but that you will be drawn to the saving work of Jesus Christ when you witness or participate in a sacrament. Let's start then about the focus of the sacrament. Point number 1, the focus of the sacrament. Question 67 says, are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation together? Right. In the Gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us through the Holy Sacraments. He assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. All scriptures, as a foundational argument, focus upon the work of Jesus Christ. Genesis to Revelation is about the work of Jesus Christ redeeming mankind. Luke chapter 24, reading together from verse 24. Together, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So all of scriptures focus upon Christ. Now the Jews and Jesus' disciples thought that when the Bible spoke of redemption, that God meant that Jesus would come and reestablish an earthly kingdom for the Jews. That he would redeem them and make them into a great nation again, as during the time of David and Solomon. And that, of course, was part of the problem. We'll see how it fits together. Now when we come to the Lord's Supper, not surprisingly then, the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, focus more like a laser beam, far more precisely upon the work of Jesus Christ, particularly upon the central part of his work, his dying and his resurrection. Let's look at how the baptism then, we said all scripture focuses on Christ, but baptism hones in or focuses very precisely upon the work of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, there Paul shows that baptism symbolizes your unity in Jesus Christ's work on the cross. By the way, when people hear baptism, the argument goes into their heads, sprinkling, pouring, pushing them under the water. The fact is, baptism does not focus upon the volume of water that is used. Baptism is a term that speaks of the unity you have with Jesus Christ. That's baptism. So when somebody says, I've been baptized, the first thing that should come into your mind is, I'm united with Jesus Christ. Paul, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, together. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You see how he used it there? You're joined with Christ when he was on the cross. It was as if you were crucified. When you were put into the ground, it was as if you were put into the ground. When he was raised from the dead, it's as if you were raised from the dead. And that's what baptism signifies, your unity with Jesus Christ. His blood washed away your sins. The Apostle Paul taught that baptism was a picture of the covering Christ is for you. It's like you're in him, you're covered by him. And Christ is your covering of righteousness. The law previously covered Christians with guilt. So the Apostle Paul pointed out that baptism points directly to the protection Christ offered for you. You know, if you will see a dangerous thing coming and you have a little child with you and a wild animal is attacking, you will say, come behind me. Let me protect you. I will be in front. And that's what you see in baptism. It's the Lord saying, I'm going to be in front. You'll be in me. I'll keep you safe by my taking your punishment so you could be considered to have died for your sins. Remember in the Garden of Eden, from the very beginning, when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, he reminded them of the hope they would have in Jesus Christ. How? He killed an animal and took their skin as a covering. And that picture of the covering, which takes away our shame, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what we get from his death and burial and resurrection. That's like a covering for us. And that's what you find in books like Psalm 45. That's what you see in Songs of Solomon, where the bride is beautifully decorated. That's what you see in Isaiah, speaking of the righteousness of Christ that is counted as ours. What a beautiful picture God gives to us of what he does in baptism. In baptism, you're united, you're in him, you're covered by him. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Together, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see the idea now? Christ is your covering. Okay? Now, remember, if you take that literally and you say, that means, does this mean I must go under? No. You look at the clear teaching of baptism, you're united with Christ. You are in His body. You were joined with Him when He died. So baptism focuses on the work of Jesus Christ. Second, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there the Lord's Supper is seen to focus again on the work of Jesus Christ, how Christ died on the cross for sinners. The bread pictures the body and the wine pictures His blood, the means of your covering. How then do you receive this covering that Christ offers? His blood was shed for you. His blood dripped to the ground. His body was broken. 1 Corinthians 11:26 together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. That one is relatively easy to see. And now, look at the third example. The Apostle Paul taught that the Israelites were united or baptized with Moses when they passed through the Red Sea and were under the cloud. And he then used that to teach the Corinthians that the Israelites were united in baptism, who were united in baptism, were eating the Lord's body and drinking His blood, pictured in the Lord's Supper. Believing that Christ Himself died for the sins of the world. Look at how he describes this unity. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 together. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Christ is inextricably linked to the sacraments. You can't separate the sacraments because they're so tied to Christ. You can't put Him out and make it into just some ceremony. Christ is the focus, and you have to look at the work of Christ if you want to grab the full meaning of baptism. Now, if the sign is treated too highly, then the sign becomes more important than the thing that is signified. I want you to focus on that a minute. If the sign is treated too highly, like suddenly you make the Lord's Supper so important that no one, for example, can take it. Some churches are that way. There may be two or three people in the whole church that will take the Lord's Supper because they're so afraid of taking it. Then you are attacking the Lord's sacrifice Himself. You're saying that is beyond my reach. The thing signified in the Lord's Supper is Jesus Christ Himself. And that should be the focus when you participate in the Lord's Supper. So you can't have the baptism without thinking about the work of Christ. And what's the work of Christ there? Unity. You're united with Him. When you take the Lord's Supper, what is it that you focus on? The work of Jesus Christ. And as you eat that bread and drink that wine, you start to focus on what He has done. You're getting Him on the inside. Literally, you're receiving by faith what He has done. Therefore, all the superstitions go, and you focus on Christ. The sacraments are a means of grace from Jesus Christ. They are holy, visible, sensible signs of the invisible grace you receive. Sacraments are God's gift to you. They are holy, visible seals of the covenant of grace that God established with you. So they are signs, and then they are seals. Everyone gets that they are signs of Christ, but there is more. They are seals of what Christ has done for you. How could they be a means of grace? Well, the sacraments themselves scream out to you and to the world, Jesus loves you. Jesus shed His blood and it dripped to the ground for your sake. Jesus' body was broken. Jesus had the spear pushed in his side. Jesus had the nails put into his feet. And that's what you need to see every time you participate in the Lord's Supper or you witness a baptism. And then you are able to be strengthened in your faith. And then you respond, I've got to tell somebody. I have to tell the story of what Jesus Christ did for me. So the sacraments are not simply a matter of a symbol and say, yes, like we would use a ring and say, it is neat, look at the ring, it's got no beginning or end, and so is love. And that's true, and it's a good symbol. But the Lord's Supper is much more. Because it affects the inward change of the things in your heart. It strengthens your faith and says, look at how much Jesus loved me. And what do you do when somebody loves you? You got to tell somebody. You got to show that someone loves you. You don't hide it. And that's what God expects of you. So when you're baptized or you see someone baptized, and when you eat of the Lord's table or you see someone eat of the Lord's table, let your mind be drawn back to the cross where the Lord suffered and His blood dripped down. The sacraments are about Jesus Christ. This will move you to love Him more and to serve Him better. In this way you will see the sacraments as a means of grace. And then you will tell the world that they too can be nourished by Christ. You will be preaching in the world every time you take the Lord's Supper and every time you witness a baptism. And this is one of the reasons you need to invite people so that they can come and witness. And when they see, they wonder, why? Why do I need to be nourished? And you have an opportunity to explain to them because of the need of the soul. And how do you get that need met? You look to the Savior and ask Him to change you. And then you get an opportunity to evangelize for Jesus Christ. So even in participating in the Lord's Supper and baptism, it is a witness to the world by showing them their need for the Savior. Now let's come to the second point, the number of the sacraments. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament together? Two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now there are only two sacraments in the Bible regardless of what other religions teach. And the two are baptism and the Lord's Supper. These two were commanded by Jesus Christ. Where do we see that command? First of all, for baptism in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Together, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, preach, baptize. Command from God. What about the Lord's Supper? We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, there are all the passages, but we're using one simply to make the point from verse 23. Together. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. By the way, you see a little bit more of the evangelistic thrust. When you are taking the Lord's Supper, you're proclaiming Jesus Christ died for my sins. And by He's given me this Lord's Supper as a means by which my soul's nourished, because as I grab that bread and as I drink that wine, I'm going back to His body that was broken and His blood that was shed for my sins. But there are only two sacraments to the main point here. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now what are some other sacraments that other sects and religions have? And why are they not properly called sacraments in the Scriptures? Now some charismatic type churches have a sacrament called foot washing. They believed that when Jesus washed his disciples' feet and said that they were to do likewise, that Jesus was instituting a new sacrament called foot washing. But Jesus was speaking of being humble and serving each other. He was not speaking of literally washing each other's feet. Now that was appropriate more so in the desert where people wore sandals and they came into a home and maybe you'd set a bowl there and you'd put your feet in and pour some cold water in it. It was the best thing. Now of course today we don't do that as a practical thing because we don't have dusty feet and deserts around us. But there Jesus was simply pointing out the fact that they ought to be humble and they should serve one another. Here's the other problem with that. Sacraments are signs that point you to the literal act of Jesus dying where his blood was shed for his people. It is impossible to see how washing someone's feet would picture the death of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, this foot washing is taught in no other place in the Bible. And remember I said, every time you have an important doctrine, it's taught in multiple places. You don't have a single doctrine that's important that is taught in one place and say, this is what you should do and never mentioned again. So foot washing is not a sacrament. It might be a nice thing for people in the desert, but it's not a sacrament. Second, the Roman Catholics have 7 sacraments. Baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, extreme unction, holy orders, marriage, and penance. None of these so-called sacraments represent what Christians believe. First of all, in terms of baptism for the Roman Catholic, it is quite different from Christian baptism. Roman Catholics believe that one is saved by baptism, or what we call baptismal regeneration. If you're baptized, that's the means by which you are saved. Confirmation. Confirmation is the belief that one has become fully equipped with the Holy Spirit. Since this sign does not picture the work of Christ at his death, it cannot be called a sacrament. There is no dying in this. This is simply someone coming of age, usually equivalent to what we would call profession of faith, where usually an older teenager or an older person will say, yes, I want to speak for myself. Not just what my parents said, but now I can testify that I truly believe in Jesus Christ. But that's not a sacrament, because it does not picture the work of Jesus Christ. The third one is the Eucharist, sometimes called Thanksgiving, or worse, the Mass. And this is the most shameful doctrine of Roman Catholicism. It is an abominable sacrament, or that's what they call it, not the Christian sacrament. Roman Catholics believe that Christ is not symbolized by the bread and wine, but the bread and wine are transferred into the literal flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, whom they have to sacrifice daily. And that's why this is abominable. They're saying, and we'll talk about this in detail when we come to deal with the Lord's Supper specifically, but they believe that this bread and wine becomes a real body and blood of Jesus Christ, real flesh and blood. Why? Because they have to kill Christ every day. That the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was not sufficient. As opposed to what you find in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 27, chapter 9 verse 28, and chapter 10 verse 10. We all say that Christ died one time for all times. He doesn't have to be killed every day. And that's why this is an attack against the very sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And to call it a sacrament is blasphemy. To call the Roman Catholic Mass a sacrament is blasphemy against God and against the work of Jesus Christ. It's saying that Christ's work was not sufficient. We believe for all it's worth as the Scripture teaches us, that it is Christ died one time and it was sufficient for all times. Here's the interesting thing, which is quite ironic, because the word Mass comes from the Latin phrase ite missa est, which is translated it is finished. The very phrase means it's done, and they argue you have to do it every day. How contradictory. How silly. But more important, how ungodly. There's another one called extreme unction. In the Roman Catholic Church, they anoint with special oil anyone who is sick or possibly facing death and is supposed to give them special grace. Now, the Bible says it is important to pray for the sick to get so they will get better. But we have no such command that this is a sacrament, because it does not picture the work of Jesus Christ, of his dying, but rather it simply says, pray that God would heal that person. And this is part of what is often called last rites. If you ever watch movies and they talk about people dying, they'll say, we've got to perform last rites, and the priest will get out some oil and make a cross on your head and kiss his ribbons and things. And that is supposed to be something that will help you to get better. This does not picture the work of Christ, and therefore it is not a sacrament. Then there are holy orders. Holy orders are special positions in the Roman Catholic Church, bishops, priests, and deacons. Obviously, they do not picture the work of Christ on the cross. No Christian needs a priest, for example, since the Bible says we are all priests of God. A priest is someone who can go directly to God and make petitions for the people. I can pray for you, you can pray for me. We are priests. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're not just a regular priesthood person either. You are a royal priesthood. You have the kingly function. And what's the result of the king who is a priest? He proclaims the praises of Jesus Christ. You get this? You are a prophet. You are a priest. You are a king. Like Jesus Christ is your prophet, priest, and king. And he gives to you his blessings. His anointing comes upon you because you are his child. Now, we are not equal to Christ. But he gives us his blessings, his prophet, priest, and kings. And therefore, to make these into special holy orders would be wrong. We don't have priests today. We follow the order that God has established. But more importantly, none of these things pictures the work of Jesus Christ of dying. How does a priest or a bishop or a deacon picture Christ dying? They don't. And it may be nice, we have elders and deacons in our churches, but we never claim that they are some sacrament. Then there is marriage. Marriage is a Roman Catholic sacrament, and this is why they do not permit divorces. And yet, if marriage were a sacrament and a picture of Christ's pure love for his church, as Roman Catholics argue, why would Roman Catholics permit mixed marriages? Non-Roman Catholics marrying with someone else with a bishop's permission. If it's a sacrament, you have to do it. You can't avoid it. And yet they say, well, it could be, we can corrupt it. And if sacraments are not optional, then why don't priests get married? They should. How can it be a sacrament and some people don't have to do it? Priests are not exempted, no one is exempted from participating in the sacrament. Everyone who is a believer should have baptism and the Lord's Supper. No one is exempted from it. But let's go on now to the Mormons, who believe that they could baptize the dead. That's their sacrament. By baptizing someone who is alive, they believe that it's lawful for them to do that, because they are baptizing the dead person by proxy. You could take somebody's place who is dead, and then you're baptized for them, and somehow God will take away that person's sin who has died. You realize how silly that is, just on the face of it. No one can receive faith after he has died. You're saved through faith. How can a dead person have faith? After death, the Bible says, comes the judgment. So that sacrament does not fit in with the teachings of the scriptures as well. Now there are some who recognize the sacraments of the Lord, but they themselves will not participate because they don't think they're worthy of it, or they're not of that special number. So they will have the Lord's Supper, and they will have the bread and the wine, and they will pass it around, and nobody will take. You realize how silly that is. The Lord Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then these people would say, "Well, we know what he said, but we probably shouldn't be doing it." So they'll pass the cup and all around, and nobody will take, and then they'll take it back to the front. That's misusing of the sacrament. Well, we'll talk about the details about that later. Let's put it together now and conclude. The sacrament, or the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, focus on the saving work of Jesus Christ for you. The sacraments of themselves are not to be inappropriately elevated, or they will become sinful. You're not to think if you eat the Lord's Supper you're going to be saved, or if you're baptized that you are saved because of that. Otherwise they will take away from the thing that signifies it is Jesus who saves you by His living and His dying and His burial and His resurrection. That's what saves you, not the fact that you're baptized or you take the Lord's Supper. On the other hand, the sacraments are not to be ignored or the full meaning brushed aside, or you will rob yourself the grace that comes from them. If you just think, well, it's a ceremony we go through, it's a rite of passage, and we just have to do it. It just means the service will be longer that week, and we just accept it. No, you must grab hold of what the sacraments mean. When you hear the word of God, when you see the sacrament displayed, the baptism or the water coming upon the head of the child or the adult, or you see that bread and that wine, your mind goes back to what Christ did for you. And the sacraments then will scream out, "The Lord died for you so that you will never ever forget it." And then it becomes a nourishment for your soul. It must never be brushed aside. And that's the first thing. It must take you back to the cross so you see Jesus Christ. They should take you back to the cross so you see Jesus Christ. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And when it sinks into your heart, that will be as if you're eating spiritual food, and it will nourish your soul. 2, don't ever get tired of the sacraments. Look forward to them. Don't rob yourself of one of the greatest motivations to serving the Lord with vigor. 3, let the sacraments be a witness to the world. Let them see you nourished and live well. And then let them ask, "How are you so peaceful in this world of strife?" And you will say, "The Word of God is a nourishment to my soul. And He has given the food of the Holy Sacrament. And He's given me the baptism to remind me that my sins are washed away." The sacraments are not to be brushed aside, brothers and sisters. They are to nourish your soul. And finally, if you're not a Christian, the sacrament might be great signs and seals and sources of great blessings, but you can't have them. You can't have them because you have a greater problem. You need to understand and accept the thing that is symbolized by the sacrament. And that thing is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that this greatest need of your life may be met today. That you will call upon Him and say, "Lord, I want what is necessary for my soul. I want that thing that is symbolized by the Lord's Supper and baptism. I want Jesus Christ. I want His death to be counted as my death. His resurrection as my resurrection." Let us pray.